A UN official with COVID has been evacuated from Fiji on a mercy flight after a U-turn from our health authorities. RNZ understands the woman who's seriously ill will be treated at Auckland's Middlemore Hospital, despite New Zealand initially refusing to let her in because of capacity issues. The hospital system in Fiji is overrun with 1,000 new COVID cases in the last 24 hours and 12 deaths this week. The UN's senior official in Fiji, Sanaka Samarasinghe, explains the decision to evacuate her. So this is pretty critical?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean, we have a threshold, Lisa, just to say, you know, in the UN system, and it doesn't matter which country it is. We do consider, you know, a certain threshold at which point we kickstart the medevac process. But then, you know, we apply against that threshold. The ability of the patient to receive care in country, obviously that will be the first choice. And now it's possible, whilst you can still receive some care here in Fiji, it was determined by the doctors that it was necessary to get her care that is not available at this point in Fiji. And so, you know, as we do normally, we start looking for places where the patient can be medevac too, and obviously we would look to the countries that are the closest that have the ability to do so. And as I said, New Zealand has excellent facilities and is able to provide this care, and we're very grateful.
Is it an issue of access to a respirator?
I can't give you the details, Lisa, to be honest. And in part, I don't actually know because I'm not a doctor. But I can assure you that a lot of factors were considered, and a lot of doctors were involved on both sides and on the UN side as well before this decision was made. It wasn't taken lightly because, as you can imagine, any kind of medical evacuation, especially when it's a serious case, it's also very risky to fly people and move people. So, you know, all those things have been considered by the doctors, and it was determined that this is the best course of action.
Health authorities here put out a statement saying that they'd taken medical advice and also had capacity issues. So in the first instance, they were not accepting this person. I'm just wondering what changed. Did you have some help putting your case to the government and to medical authorities here? And if so, where did that come from?
I have continued to engage with the High Commissioner here. The UN in New York has engaged continuously with the mission there. And again, you know, the doctors have been talking to each other. So, you know, what I can tell you, Lisa, is that this decision was made purely on medical grounds, and I believe from New Zealand's perspective on the basis that New Zealand able to provide that service. So can't tell you really anything more than that.
People have obviously been watching the situation in Fiji, and there are many, many people who are seriously ill, and the hospital is obviously over capacity. I mean, this week already more than 10 people dead and hundreds of cases every day. So I suppose potentially the argument is that there is a number of people like your colleague who would benefit from medical treatment in New Zealand. So why her and not them?
I can fully appreciate that. And look, I mean, I can tell you this is what we do every day for a living, right? I mean, that's why the United Nations is here. That's why the World Health Organization is here. Why it's why UNICEF is working here. And we're doing the best we can, as is New Zealand and Australia and everybody else, to help the people of Fiji. But as you well know, Lisa, we, as a UN, we're made up of member states. Member states include all the countries that are there, including New Zealand, Australia, and everybody else, Fiji as well. And our ability to be able to provide that kind of support and service, especially at a time of crisis, is dependent very much on our ability to deploy staff to these crisis environments, you know, whether it's a conflict or some other type of disaster. And our ability to be able to deploy staff to those environments is also based on our ability to give a degree of assurance that if it is a life-threatening situation, we would do our very best to provide the duty of care that we can to our staff members. If that doesn't happen, we're not able to provide support that we can as the U.S.
Are you able to tell us whether this woman is vaccinated and fully vaccinated?
I can't tell you for sure. I'm afraid, Lisa.
How is she doing?
We don't know. Obviously, she's not doing very well. We're all very concerned. Of course, we're all rooting for her, and I know she's I know her personally. She's a fighter, and we just have to keep our fingers crossed. And you know, we do know that when she's in New Zealand, and she's, like I said, she's got excellent care. The doctors have done all they could here in Fiji, and I'm certain that the doctors in the ICU in Auckland will be doing the same. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to a very positive outcome.
It is obviously a dangerous situation in Fiji, so I'm wondering how many UN staffers are still there and whether you are planning to get out.
No, not me. The captain's the last person to leave the ship, right? So I don't intend to leave.
And that is Sanaka Samarasinghe, and there are 700 UN workers in Suva. In a statement, the Ministry of Health says Auckland's Medical Officer of Health has approved a transfer plan for the patient, taking into account the safety of the UN worker and the crew transporting her, with strong protocols in place for the transfer.